team, which is a better, thicker roster. Hour two starts off with Ian Begley. Lonzo to New York. There's a lot of rumors about that. We'll touch on that next on ESPN New Orleans.
Good morning, Private!
Good morning, Drill Sergeant!
I mean, seriously, what a pleasant morning. The sun is shining and the birds are chirping.
You seem to be in a good mood today.
Astute observation, Private! Astute!
He's probably happy because he found out Honey Nut Cheerios can help lower cholesterol as part of a heart-healthy diet.
So, in lieu of the obstacle course today, I propose a nice, meditative nature walk. Does that sound delightful to everyone?
Yes, Drill Sergeant!
Have a change of heart with Honey Nut Cheerios. Learn more about Honey Nut Cheerios by picking up a box at your local store.
Today's pros need today's tools, and nobody understands that better than the Home Depot. Our app makes it simpler to get supplies ordered and delivered. Our online project calculators cut guesswork and last-second supply runs. Job site delivery puts what you need where and when you need it. And rental puts the right equipment in your hands, but not your overhead. That's how today's pros get more done. New tech, new tools, old-fashioned hard work. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're looking for satisfaction, there's no need to wait. With Credit Karma Money, you could win cash reimbursements for debit purchases. And when you make a purchase between July 1st and July 23rd, you'll be automatically entered for a chance to win $1 million. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and have the chance to start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
G-Sean, J-Will, and Zubin.
I'm scrolling through the television, and I told Jay I found myself watching Hollywood Exes.
He always finds the most random stuff to watch. It's investigative or some kind of reality show.
Because it's all that's on television, and it's good conversation because some of the stuff that they were saying, I was like, really? Where was I at when all this was going on?
G-Sean, J-Will, and Zubin. Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Hour number two off and running on your home for Pelicans basketball. Bottom of the hour, we'll speak with Dave Burns out in Phoenix. It looks like, per Andrew Lopez, ESPN. Last hour, they're negotiating now. Could be today, could be tomorrow, the very latest. It looks like Willie Green will be your head coach for your New Orleans Pelicans. A lot of other news being reported here as well in the last 24 hours. Lonzo, what's his future as well? A lot of people have talked about how key he will be to this Pelicans season one way or another, whether he's on this team or not. Ian Begley, at Ian Begley, covers the Knicks and the Nets and the NBA for SNY TV. He's also the host of Putback over there in SNY's digital show. Sir, good afternoon to you. How are you?
How are you guys doing?
Doing well, man. Lots of finally, I have like some news here in New Orleans other than just watching the finals. I guess just your thoughts on some of the reports, though, that are out there. It looks like Willie Green, former player, an assistant since 2016, being a coach. And look, for the reason of communicating, how important is communicating in today's NBA?
I mean, forget about today's NBA for a second. When you guys talk about your hire and who the Pelicans hire next, it's all about Zion Williams, about how you – not necessarily that you're hiring a coach that he wants, but you have to ensure that if you're David Griffin, that this hire aligns with the young guys and Zion Williamson, and everybody's kind of on the same page, because you are entering a touch and go territory. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about another NBA head coach coaching Zion Williamson. So that's where I would start with the Pelicans, but certainly just in general, communication is paramount in this league. There's all the young players. You need a coach that connects with them. And it doesn't have to be a former player. It doesn't have to be somebody who is young enough. It just has to be somebody who can communicate effectively. And that's, you know, we've seen that across the board the last coaching hires, and assuming, you know, Willie Green goes through, that's been a defining characteristic of a lot of team coaching hires.
Not a lot of head coaching experience, zero, for Willie Green, but look, you cover the Nets here as well. When you look at Nash, that was one of the things, I guess, that was brought up as well. Is it similar in that, hey, a former player able to communicate with today's quote-unquote stars and athletes like that? Is that why he was envisioned as being a good coach for that Nets team?
Certainly. I mean, you talk about Steve Nash and you reference the pre-existing relationship that he had with Kevin Durant from his days working with the Warriors, kind of in a semi-official capacity. He got very close with Kevin Durant. And so that, to me, was one of the driving forces. Obviously, Nash had a very good relationship with Nets GM Sean Marks. He had a pre-existing relationship with Kyrie Irving. I think all those things factored into why the Nets ended up going with Steve Nash. And it just, yeah, kind of aligns with what we're talking about here. The idea that there's an open line of communication between coach and player, trust between coach and player, that has become, in the past few seasons, very, very paramount in this league.
Speaking with Ian Begley, host of Putback over on SNY. Sir, we've heard a lot of Nick stuff when it comes to this. He's still got a couple of years on the contract here. So while some you know, Pels fans got to drinking early already with that this season, there is a Pelican currently that maybe could be a Nick. And you wrote about him yesterday. That's Lonzo Ball. He's been a player, yeah. Man. I'm telling you, all season we've talked about him here. Does he fit? How is he? Up and down, what's his future? What's the money? What does he want? How does he maybe fit into the plans for the Knicks? And what's the, I guess, the pulse of Knicks fans and perhaps Alonzo Ball going over there?
Right. Let me back up for 1 second, go back to the trade deadline,
sure.
Late March. Yeah, I know that the Knicks have been in touch with the Pelicans on potential Alonzo Ball trades. I'm sure there was, you know, a dozen teams, if not more, in touch with the Pelicans on potential Alonzo Ball trades. Obviously, nothing got done then. At that point, somebody who had a pretty good idea or intel on the discussions between the Knicks and the Pelicans felt that the Knicks would reengage on Lonzo in this offseason. But since that point, that trade deadline, I haven't been able to get a clear sense of whether, you know, decision makers in New York are in on Lonzo or they're not in on Lonzo. From everything I know, there hadn't been a consensus over there with regard to Lonzo Ball and how they feel about him with respect to pursuing him as a restricted free agent. I know that there are, you know, some people who are fans of him, but I just don't know to this point, as we sit here today, if everybody over in New York is all in on Lonzo. And it could be the case, and maybe I just haven't found out yet, but I'm just telling you what I know.
When you take a look at other reports with Bulls and Clippers as well, what do you think is that market for Lonzo Ball in terms of money? I mean, we saw Schroeder turn down, you know, 20 plus. Do you think Lonzo's 20 mil per? Or I guess you are what you're offered, huh?
Right. And I think that just the thing with Lonzo is, you know, he's younger. And he showed you this past season, he had stretches where he shot the ball well. So, you know, ideally, in free agency, you're paying for what a player can and will be in the future and the best version of himself. And so if Lonzo's the best version of himself, knocking shots down, distributing the ball, defending, then, in my mind, he's a $20 million a year player. Mm-hmm. But I think, ideally, for these teams who are going to make those offers, you would have seen it over a longer period of time. So you're making a bet that Lonzo can be somebody that he's shown in flashes, but he hasn't shown consistently.
Ian, final 10, 15 seconds here, sir. Tomorrow night, game 4 of the NBA Finals. What have you thought so far about the Finals, and who do you think's going to win it?
Really enjoying it. And, you know, there's people out there who are complaining that there's no LeBron, no Kevin Durant, no Steph Curry. I'm just enjoying the basketball and the chess match, and we're seeing very good basketball, to me, between the Suns and the Bucks. And, you know, I think Phoenix will get through. I still think Phoenix will get through. But the Bucks, as we saw Game 3, they're going to make things interesting. And I hope we get a tight series that goes 6 or 7, but I still I would take Phoenix right now.
Yeah, no doubt that key will be tomorrow night. Ian Begley at Ian Begley over on Twitter covers the Knicks, the Nets, and NBA for SNY TV. And, of course, he's the host of Put Back, the digital show over on SNY. Thank you for your time this afternoon, sir.
Anytime, fellas. Take care.
Yeah, appreciate it. Maddie, again, and that's one of the things that's going to be interesting that he brought up there is just you're hedging about Lonzo is potential. What do you think he will be moving forward? Is he the guy that's going to get you some scoring? Is he the guy that can assist? Is he the guy that doesn't turn the ball over? Is he the guy that occasionally you'll see the defense on there? And that's why I keep saying I think on the right team, I think he could be a very good player. One that, to me, doesn't require him to be a top scorer. And I see him as an Eastern Conference point guard. I'm not disrespecting him. But in the Western Conference point guards are scorers, playmakers, aggressive, and have a certain attitude about them. I don't know if that describes him. That's not to say he's not a good NBA player, and he couldn't be a good point guard on another team. I'm just looking at the conference the Pelicans are in.
Yeah, to me, it's kind of odd to look at a free agent in terms of potential. To me, you kind of look at a free agent in terms of, like, knowing that that will pay off. Otherwise, you know, why kind of take that gamble? I think that if there, you know, it really comes down to his shooting. That's really kind of what he was only really able to display last season. But, you know, in those big games, when it came down to it, he always had his best games following, you know, a loss that they really needed to not lose. So maybe if he's able to kind of get that attitude adjustment, and maybe he was just kind of a victim of this disorganized mindset that really didn't have an identity on the Pelicans. I think maybe if he's not looked at as kind of one of the stars and just kind of a smaller contributor at first, either that gives him a chip on his shoulder or relieves the pressure off of him. But to me, it was, you know, the inability to kind of rise in the face of pressure that would worry me in signing him as a free agent.
Jordan, we've touched on this before. Whether it's your Woj or your Shams and things of that nature, especially those two. When they do stories of, you know, unlikely to do this or likely to do that, and we know it, these two particularly, that's more than likely an agent.
Yeah.
Communicating one way, shape, or form, or a team executive.
And it's more than likely one way, to happen.
Right. But it's also to kind of test the waters, throw that out there, some of that nature. Again, this morning, also in the same article with Shams, Ben Simmons now reportedly, they're listening. Yeah, no kidding.
Five teams.
But again, what are those five teams?
We'll get into that with
on the top stories.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to do that. But my point is, I don't think it's nothing that all of a sudden you hear unlikely to match. And again, I don't think that's news here in New Orleans. We've all talked about that. We have literally brought that up as questions of the day or whatever. Yeah. I mean, are you giving him a max deal? You giving him 20 over 4, that's 80. And it's not that I don't think it's worth. I'm looking at the bigger picture. Zion, Maddie, will be a max player, right? That second contract. Brandon is a max player.
You're also looking at the conference.
If you're giving Lonzo max money, that's three players. Good luck trying to build. I mean, you better be darn sure. Now, if they're good, you know, I mean, we're talking Draymond, Clay, and Steph. Okay, but you better be sure. And again, looking at your starting five right now, this year, again, unless it's proven to me, two of your starting five, your foundation pieces in Ingram and Zion, aren't very good defenders. They're just not. I'm not being ugly. They're not. So that's already deficiency there. Consistency. And then if your point guard, and again, I know I keep getting sold that he's this great defensive player. Occasionally I'll see a good stop or two, but I wouldn't call him a great defensive player against the Western Conference point guards. I hadn't seen him. By the way, the Pelicans kept giving up threes to everybody. So don't tell me that he's part of this great backcourt that can defend people when I literally watch games and franchises set records for threes.
Well, what sticks out to me too is we heard a lot of this about them potentially shopping around that number 10 pick and looking kind of for a star player to kind of bring us all together. And it kind of signifies to me that money they might not be willing to spend on Lonzo might be because they're potentially thinking of someone else. And that would be tying up some money that they might be able to draw in another actual star to bring this all
together.
And that's
what I'm talking about. Look, Colin Sexton's a name that's being brought up there by a lot of Pelicans fans as a possible person to go trade for with Cleveland stuff. But again, he's coming up on a contract. We'll be looking probably for 30. And that's to the point that you're bringing up. Again, it's not personal. It's not that I don't think he's worth it. You are, as I mentioned with Ian, what someone thinks you're worth. If somebody wants to pay that, then, you know, good for you. But if I'm looking at where I'm spending my money, is it, you know, I mean, we keep talking about these free agents moving forward and stuff. And I just, man, that is tying up. And again, in the NBA, it's guaranteed, man. It's not like the NFL. Oh, well, it didn't work with this safety or Brandon Brown or we'll cut him. We'll just eat the guaranteed money. No, it's going to affect you for seasons.
Well, it does affect you in the NFL for seasons.
It does, but you can move on a lot easier, I think, in the NFL from a bad signing than you can in the NBA. Even though it's a wow, was that a bad signing? Really bad signing. When we come back, Jordan's itching to give me some top stories. He stopped me in mid-thought. You saw that? I'll get back to it.
I wasn't trying to be rude or anything.
No, it's a segment. Sports Takeover next on ESPN New Orleans.
Is approaching, and so are the red-hot deals.
Red-hot deals.
At Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Shop online at GregLeBlancToyota.com or at the store. Great offers like the sporty 21 Toyota Camry or the Corolla with class-leading gas mileage and complimentary two-year maintenance. Or the stylish and dependable 2021 RAV4 and Highlander. Stop by Greg LeBlanc Toyota and make this a summer to remember with your new Toyota. Only at your number one volume dealer in Houma. Greg LeBlanc Toyota.
Want more from your bank? Open a Cajun Pride checking account at State Bank and Trust Company and enjoy the benefits. Unlimited check writing, overdraft protection, online banking, mobile banking, debit card, ID theft assistance, safe deposit box discounts, prescription drug discounts, shopping, travel, entertainment discounts, and much more. Call or come in for more information about applicable fees and terms. State Bank and Trust Company. Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. State Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply, 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cut Off is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit our website at visionsourceadvancedeyecutoff.com.
Citizen.
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Mm-hmm. All right. Open segment 800-998-1003. Pels fans, I want to hear from you as we do top stories. What are your thoughts, though? Andrew Lopez reporting that they're negotiating. Willie Green and the Pelicans negotiating. He expects it either today or tomorrow for the contract to be done. Dane Moore, NBA, at Dane Moore NBA on Twitter. Covers the T-Wolves, says Sam Mitchell could be the lead assistant. He's been an interim head coach and is known for a great communicator. And we played some sound bites about him. He actually coached Zion in a high school all-star game. Talking about being point Zion. What are you shaking your head? You're not buying it, are you?
I'm not buying it this time. That's fine. Sorry, I've been read the storybook already.
And I hear you. Look, there are a lot of Pels fans that are going to hear this. At the same time, Jordan, this is where we are. This is where we are moving forward. So, let's get to your segment now so you don't get it. Is that why you...
I distracted him. Zach Bond is currently working out with TJ and JJ Watt.
Who's that?
Zach Bond?
No.
I mean, greatest you could pick Saints worse linebacker. Duo brothers okay. to work okay. out with.
No, I hear you. Kind of feels like everyone's kind of forgotten about him, huh?
What everybody, you know, you know what everyone wants.
What?
Everyone wants somebody to be re-signed. That certain player that had a really nice video a couple weeks ago, or a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago. It's been a while.
And huh? People also really wanted the Saints to draft linebackers in drafts, and now are I really acting like loved they it. Don't I want would've. To use said drafted linebackers. Yeah, all right, fine.
Here's a look at what's making news. Let's check out the Sports Hangover's top stories.
All right, Jordan, go ahead. What do you
I
want?
Won't keep you waiting anymore, Goosey.
Okay.
The 76ers have opened up the trade conversation around Ben Simmons, and there have been five teams that have been reportedly interested in Ben Simmons.
Five teams.
That
Here
is
we go.
The Cleveland Cavaliers.
Good luck there.
The Indiana Pacers.
Okay.
The Minnesota Timberwolves. The Toronto Raptors. And lastly, the Sacramento Kings.
Toronto intrigues me from this that you just said out of that list, right? What is one of the players that I would not mind the Pels moving up to try to go get at four the Toronto Raptors sit? And most mock drafts, I think it's four, right? Have them selecting Jalen Suggs. If they go get their point guard, they need a point guard. So if they trade, now again, I know there's a lot of talk about Ben Simmons going to move forward. He's not going to. I seriously doubt. I think that would happen on a team. For that team, the teams that you just mentioned, and again, you mentioned Cleveland, Colin Sexton. So it's interesting, right? They're envisioning him as point guard or moving him at four?
It'd probably be point guard, huh?
I mean, that's what I'm thinking. But that's it. I don't know. The team that intrigued me from what you just said, when you said Toronto, they sit at four. And again, most mock drafts have Jalen Suggs going to Toronto. Your top four picks, Detroit, Houston, Cleveland, Toronto, Orlando is five. OKC, six. Golden State, seven. Orlando again at eight. Sacramento, nine. Yo, New Orleans Pelicans at 10. So I don't know if they can get to one. If I'm Detroit, I said this already, Maddie, you need a star there. I mean, you need a guy. You're not giving up Cade Cunningham. I think it's sort of like when the Pels won the lottery. There couldn't have been a deal that I think would have been good enough to move out of that. You need a new face. So, but I do think maybe you can entice Toronto or Cleveland to give you that third or fourth pick, and you can go get Jalen Suggs. I mean, that's just me. That's my personal preference. If not, you stay at 10 and you got a player or two, whether it's Moses Moody or Corey Kispert right now, that I think fit the bill.
Well, it's kind of similar to the NFL draft in that the number one pick is rarely, if not ever, you know, shopped around. But, you know, those three, four, and five that are really paramount, especially right. In the age of quarterbacks, you know, those are really those ones that people are looking at, and it kind of seems to mirror that in the NBA.
Let's stick with, you know, maybe in pursuit of things. The Houston Rockets are aggressive in their pursuit of the number one overall pick from Detroit, and that would be Cade Cunningham. They've had a lot of interest in going after that number one pick, and there have been a few other teams that have showed some interest, but Houston's been that one team that
seems to be a trade partner,
that seems
trade
to
partner?
Be, yeah, very open about wanting Cade Cunningham with that number one pick.
Oh, okay. You mean moving up?
Moving up for that number one pick.
Okay.
Let's move down under, Gus.
Oh, is that where we're going?
Yes, we have to go down under.
I didn't
under.
Know the order here, but that's fine. We'll do it. Oh,
not the best thing. Not the best time.
I like this music, though. It makes me happy. Are we talking rugby?
No, we're not talking
Nate
about
it. Osborne?
Especially when it's like a beautiful day outside.
Okay, what we got?
Team USA.
Oh, no.
Second straight game.
No.
To Australia.
0-2, Maddie. Let's go first take here. Ready? Let's go first take here. Big deal or not a big deal that this team's 0-2?
I mean, it's a big deal when you think of the headliners on that team and you kind of look at these, you know, superstar NBA teams. It really goes to show you that it's not so much about the names, it's about a complete team. And that seems to be something that they gravely forgot about.
Record so far, not so good for Greg Popovich. He's 0-2, as I mentioned. Pre-Emmy, you know, Coach K, when they did well. What was those numbers, Maddie, back in the day?
It looks like from July 1992 through July of 2021. Mm-hmm. The men's basketball team was 54-2, and since Saturday are 0-2. Brings another very high record to mind in terms of.
So what I'm hearing is fire Popovich.
Well, per Craig, you know what? Cut the sound. Cut what? The music. Cut
what?
The
music. What happened? What?
Greg has some words for a reporter.
Who?
Pop.
Oh, Pop.
Let me also answer that question. You know, you asked the same sort of question, the same family of question last time, where you assume things that are not true. When you just mentioned, you know, blowing these teams out, that's never happened. So I don't know where you get that. So, Can I finish my statement? Are you going to let me finish my statement or not? So you'll be quiet now while I talk.
Wow.
And I'll listen to you. When you make statements about in the past just blowing out these other teams, number one, you give no respect to the other teams. And I talked to you last time about the same thing. We've had very close games against four or five countries in all these tournaments. So the good teams do not get blown out. There are certain games that might happen in one of the tournaments, in the World Championship, the Olympics, where somebody gets blown out. But in general, nobody's blowing anybody out for the good teams. So when you make a statement like that, it's like you assume that's what's going on, and that's incorrect.
I was waiting for him to say, you know what, what's in that word, assume, make one out
Yeah,
of you.
Really, Pop goes the right. Weasel on that one.
Maddie, did you know there's a family of questions? I didn't know that. I mean, it's kind of like a genus and all that, like in biology, it's a family of questions.
Me thinks the lady doth protest too much and was very defensive and quite frankly rude. Fair question. It's fair question when you have...
It's absolutely a fair question.
Headlines, again, star players. It's kind of like, you know, again, when LeBron made the superstar team in Miami, it was like, how can they lose? It's a valid question. And I don't think it's disrespectful to the other teams in here. I mean, I get what he's trying to say. That kind of seems like he's trying to take the pressure off the fact that, you know, basketball in the United States is overall a much more large industry with all of these superstars. And there is genuinely a question of, again, you bring up that 54-2 record since 1992 and they're 0-2 with a bunch of headliners. I don't think it's asinine to ask him what is going on here. And that's not to take away from Nigeria and Australia. That's to put a question on what the U.S. is doing wrong.
No, I mean, you're the coach of the United States. I mean, like, I understand there's this feeling in OSHA right now where you don't want to say that you're good enough, but that's fine. Your job's to win. Why is this team struggling to win? Why are they missing free throws at the end? I mean, I get it. I'll say this, Maddie, in watching some of that game, and I'm texting Todd, and he's like, stop texting me. Because I'm looking at some of this. I do wonder, because a big storyline and question have been in these playoffs about the condensed schedule, the amount of games that you had to play and all this other stuff right after the bubble, really not much. I do wonder how tired these players are, legitimately. Which is one of the reasons I was like, I'm kind of okay to didn't ask Zion. Like, he's got a lot of work he's got to be doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I do wonder, you know, I get some of those players are still young, but man, if I'm the Nets, I'm a little worried about Durant, you know, being out there playing, but it's not that they don't look fresh or faster. But look, you had Ingles on there, Patty Mills. You got NBA players on these other teams here. You know, Dan Brown was coaching Nigeria. So
stop it.
No, but hear me out.
Stop it.
No, what I'm saying is
stop it. You have Kevin Durant, Damian Lillard, and a cast of all stars that are on
Draymond
the team.
Draymond was the only one that was playing kind of like it
mattered. There's no reason,
unsurprising,
that this team should be in close games games.
They're in Vegas. It's the offseason, essentially. I think they'll care a little bit more when they get to Tokyo. Watching last night, as much as I did, I'm like, it looks like you're going through the motions.
Yeah, but
why even go?
Exactly.
If you don't want to be there, you're going through the motions.
I kind of liken it to when you're in a preseason game and you're a starter and you got a team that's a double digit win team. Just get through the game. Get to when it counts, and then they'll flip the switch.
Yeah, but the preseason games are largely third string, fourth string people that are
right.
Just
getting talking about when the starters play is what I'm getting at.
Well, then maybe that should have been his answer instead of getting overly defensive. But I'm with Jordan, and why not try to have this dominant? You know, no one's going to be afraid of them when they get to Tokyo if this is the way that they're performing in this little pre time. I know it takes some while to get to chemistry, and I think there is credence to that. exhaustion from the playoffs, several of them being in there. But I don't know. To me, it just comes down again to mentality. And Draymond Green has been one of my favorite players for a long time for a reason. He will always get out there and give it his all. Mm-hmm. And to me, if there's one player out there that's willing to do that, everyone else not willing to do that, there's little excuse to be had.
Not buying it. I'm just not buying.
So you think it's a big deal?
I think it is a big deal. If I was the Pelicans or any other NBA team, and you're going to play games and you're risking your star players to, you know, play in these games to represent.
That's an interesting point.
And just for them not to care, why would I send them out there to risk a potential, you know, season-ending injury?
That's an interesting point you're saying, Ed. If you're going to be there, Maddie, right, then
get something out of it.
Right. Okay. That's a very interesting point. Quick break. We'll continue with some more top stories here as well. Plus, I'm going to need your help at 1:45, listeners, because I have got to do it by now. I was going to play our sounder for Who's Unhappy. Maddie, do me a favor. Go on over to Twitter at CGJXX.
It's weird that you said that. I quite literally have his page pulled up on my phone as
the latest tweet from CD News 8 minutes ago. I need a sounder for him. I need a flat-out sounder for CD News.
I think it would be bleep, 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 bleep.
Bleep, bleep, bleep? I need something. I'm kind of thinking maybe... You and I will discuss this at 1:45. You know the genre a little bit better than where I'm going at. We'll discuss. Up next, though, Dave Burns on ESPN New Orleans.
Recent data shows that out of all female-owned businesses, it's estimated that 1 in 3 is owned by a mom. CEO and founder Talia Goldstein is one such mompreneur. She needs to hire several matchmakers a month for her personalized matchmaking company, so she uses ZipRecruiter to find the right people for her job quickly. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
To you, my love, my heart I surrender just as soon as I deal with yonder fender bender. Cause my ice cream truck is the way I make cash, so I'll buy you a ring when I lose this dress rash.
Owning a small business isn't always as lovely as it sounds, but at least Progressive Commercial saves you money with personalized discounts. Get a quote in as little as 6 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com.
I'm gonna make you so happy sometime next year, I hope.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage and discounts not available for all vehicles or states. Policy terms and conditions apply.
Enjoy a powerful business upgrade with Dell Technologies Black Friday in July event. Get amazing savings with up to 50% off high-performance computers and tech built for business. And be able to take your office with you with Windows 10 Pro. Plus, get great offers on Dell servers, monitors, docks, and more. All with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL and speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today.
The internet can be a great resource for learning and fun. From researching to gaming to communicating, being online provides many possibilities. But cyberspace can also be dangerous. Oversharing and bullying can lead to embarrassing situations and dangerous predicaments. Protect yourself from those wishing to do harm. Learn more tips at agjefflandry.com/cybersafety. Let's stay safe online.
The opinions, findings, and conclusions or recommendations expressed here are those of the authors and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Department of Justice or LCLE, Office of Justice Program, Subgrant 2018.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
All right, could be today, could be tomorrow. Andrew Lopez, ESPN, expanding on Woj's report yesterday. He spoke with us at 12:30. Jordan, they're negotiating. They're negotiating the deal. Willie Green and the New Orleans Pelicans. Sam Mitchell per Dave Moore, NBA, could be the lead assistant. Former interim head coach over there with the T-Wolves, NBA TV analyst. Let's go out to the desert here. Talk a little bit more about potentially the next head coach of your New Orleans Pelicans. Mr. Dave Burns joins us at Burnsy987. He's a co-host of Burns and Gambo over at AZ Sports, 2 to 6 p.m. Sir, good afternoon. How are you?
Good, Gus. How you doing today?
Doing well. Thank you for carving out a little time. I know you know, it's, you got finals talk going on over there
or 60 years
in Arizona. And so thanks for joining us. But tell us a little bit about Willie Green, man.
Willie Green is one of those the way we look at it here in Phoenix is one of those casualties of success, as far as we're concerned. It's one of those guys that when you have the kind of success the Phoenix Suns are having, you expect the guys the caliber of Willie Green are going to start to get kind of picked off, and other teams are going to notice, and other teams are going to want it, and it's a price to pay. I'll tell you, it's one of those. It's a price that if the Suns can squeeze out two more wins in these NBA Finals, I think it's a price the organization will be happy to pay and the fan base will be happy to pay. But understand that Willie Green is a huge, huge part of what's going on around here, and it will be a real casualty of success if he is going to be the next head coach of the Pelicans. And good on him, good for him. He's earned it. Nobody, you know, certainly holds it against him for taking it. It's just, man, every time you hear Chris Paul in a post-game interview, why did he choose Phoenix? Willie Green is usually the second name he brings up, but beyond Monty Williams. This year, Monty has cited time and time again the improvements they've made defensively, and he always addresses Coach Willie Green, and he never calls him Willie. And he never calls him Coach Green. He always calls him Coach Willie Green every single time all year as to why they've gotten better defensively. So if he's the guy, and it sounds like he's going to be, you guys are getting a good one, a guy who maybe will have two rings under his guidance as an assistant coach in this league if the Suns are able to get one here in a week or so.
Dave, it's very interesting. Jordan here in studio just pulled up Antonio Daniels, who's the color analyst for the Pelicans. He's listening in on the post-practice. Chris Paul just said Willie Green is a head coach. He will be the most humble and prepared coach you'll ever see in your life. That's what CP just said after practice. So along those lines, it's always good to get that sort of respect. Look, Dave, you've seen it, the turnaround with your Suns. Communication. And look, part of my fun from afar to watch and having covered Monty Williams and seeing the success that Phoenix has had is I love the mic'd up segments. You just hear how in tune everyone is and how they communicate on that team. Is that something that's really stood out to you this season?
Oh, absolutely. That mic'd up segment, we spent a whole, we have a 4-hour show, 16 segments. I think we spent 2 segments talking about just that mic'd up segment alone on Friday and what it meant for DeAndre Ayton and how DeAndre Ayton played after that. I thought it was interesting that in game 3, now he doesn't put Devin Booker, he being Monty, he doesn't put Devin Booker back in the game. And we never saw it on TV, but we heard it described by Mark Jackson, and I heard it described by our reporter who was on the scene, of Monty kind of putting his arm around Devin Booker at the start of the fourth quarter, and they had a conversation. Now, Monty wouldn't get super specific about what went into that conversation. Devin didn't want anything to do with revealing what was in that conversation. But you can only imagine whatever was in that mic'd up, you know, wired sequence that he had with DeAndre Ayton in game 2. Devin Booker probably got a heavy dose of that and then some in game 3 when he obviously had the worst playoff game of these this postseason so far. So the communication has been off the charts. Monty has been, it sounds like you know him. I'm telling you that the day, I will never forget, Gus, the day they hired Monty Williams, as thinking to myself, that's it. I didn't think they were going to go to the NBA Finals 2 years later, but I thought, that's it. This is over. The Igor Kokoschkovs, the Jay Trianos, the Earl Watsons, the endless cycle of first-year guys who didn't really know what they were doing. Man, it was over. And Monty has made the kind of impact that has just reinforced the idea. Obviously, they're 2 wins away from a title. It's over here in Phoenix because it's been 10 horrible years around here.
I was going to say, man, at Burnsy987 is the way to follow Dave Burns over in Arizona. I think one of the things, man, that stands out to me, look, I'm a fan of the NBA, and I was excited when, you know, the league got a team here with Charlotte moving. But, man, I remember the Nash years, you know, and I remember that. And we interviewed David Griffin the day that we became the flagship, and he brought up that team and where the NBA was going, but that the NBA sort of passed. So I've kind of always looked over in there, and I remember doing arena football back in the day and going to that same arena. And I remember the Gorilla. I mean, like, it was a mystical place to me because of what that basketball sort of meant to that city. So it's been fun to watch, man, you guys be in the finals. And part of it is that togetherness and that fan base with that team, but understanding how important it is over there. Because you guys are trying to get an arena, right?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, look, they got the renovations to the one they have now, and they got this beautiful new practice facility. I'll tell you, Gus, I've born and raised in Arizona, which makes me, as a 50-year-old, it makes me a real rare kind of person around here. There aren't very many of us who are around here in the 70s. I'll tell you right now, this organization has roots deeper than any of the other teams that we have here in town. Winning a championship by the Suns, it would mean more than the Cardinals. It would mean more than the Diamondbacks, who obviously had that legendary one in 2001. They're just the way this organization, how close they've come to this moment. I know I've made this point before. If you're a baseball fan and you think about that long, tortured history of the Cubs fans before they broke it or the Red Sox fans before they broke it, I believe that in the NBA, the Phoenix Suns are the closest thing that league has to the Red Sox or the Chicago Cubs. The Phoenix Suns, outside of the last 10 years in which they were just dreadful, other than that, the Phoenix Suns have always been one of the premier organizations in the NBA. They always win. They've always had championship contenders. By my count, I think they've had at least 12 or 13 over their, you know, minus the last 10 years, over their previous 40 years where they could have won a title, and they were never able to, whether it was Robert Horry's hip or Mario Elie's kiss or John Paxson's three. I mean, I could go on and on. We've got this tortured history of being this close, and which is why this market, whether you've lived here for 5 years, whether you've lived here for 50, this market rallies around the Phoenix Suns in times like this that they just don't for the other teams. It's just different, and I don't know how else to explain it other than bringing up the Red Sox or the Cubs, that we have that kind of history with the Suns organization here.
Speak with Dave Burns from Burns and Gambo over on 98.7 Arizona Sports, home of the D-backs, Suns, and Cardinals. Maddie, got something for him?
Kind of to go back to the Willie Green thing. A lot of people have kind of been talking about his ability to do things with Zion and Brandon Ingram, but Will Guillory, the Pelicans beat writer, brought up a good point in that he, you know, it kind of passed the obvious stars like Devin Booker and Chris Paul. It was players like Mikal Bridges that he really helped kind of bring that defense out of. And someone that kind of comes to mind on the Pelicans is Jackson Hayes, who is a younger player, and Willie Green, you know, we've talked about his ability to relate to also being that player that was on the bench a lot of the time. But we kind of saw some defensive flashes from him. And so to me, the value in Willie Green isn't just, you know, his ability for Zion and Brandon Ingram, but to get kind of something out of those younger players who may not have seen so much playing time, and kind of just getting those fundamentals and giving them a sense of, you know, belief in them.
Yeah, and that's the defensive improvements made by the Suns organization, and that's why I cited, you know, Monty always calling him Coach Willie Green. Every time the defensive improvements are talked about, Monty always talks about Coach Willie Green, and again, leaning on my history here with the Suns, they've never, ever been known historically as a defensively good franchise. Their whole success has always been based on the idea, we've got Barkley, we've got Nash, we've got KJ, we've got Amari. We're going to outscore you. And in part, thanks to Willie Green, the whole mentality and philosophy of the Phoenix Suns organization has changed. They're playing defense at a level that I've never seen before. And I've, again, followed or rooted for this team my entire life. This is just not what Suns basketball has ever been about. So you talk about those young players and developing those young players. I mean, it's not just Mikal Bridges, who, you know, kind of came in with an idea that he could be a good defender in the NBA, needed to work on his offense. He has. You look, it's almost like the exact opposite for a guy like, I'll use another young player, Cameron Johnson,
yeah,
who you talk about defensive improvements of among a young player. He came into this league, and first of all, everybody thought they reached for him, including myself, and obviously we were all wrong about that. He came into this league with the idea that he was going to be a really good three-point shooter, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. His game and the way it is transformed since basically the bubble of a year ago has been remarkable. Now he's a guy who goes to the rack. Now he's a guy who doesn't just stand around and shoot threes. And he's a guy who defends. He's a guy who plays with a physicality that nobody thought he had in him. That's Coach Willie Green. You know, that's Monty. That's kind of this new attitude that has infused the Suns organization with those two and Mark Bryant and the others on the coaching staff which then has me thinking now all of a sudden, you know, how many of these assistants is Willie going to want to take with him? I hope not too many. I hope these casualties of success don't dig too deep into the Suns coaching staff, because they've all been really, really good when it comes to transforming guys like Bridges and Cameron Johnson and others.
Dave, two final quick things. I'm going to ask you your thoughts on tomorrow to wrap it up, but I want to touch on another player that I think excited me about the possibility of Willie Green coming here, and that's DeAndre Ayton. And we've heard Monty say, hey, look, you can earn a paycheck, or you can earn a bigger paycheck depending on your work ethic, things of that nature. Hearing what Ayton has said and his growth and maturity, Dave, I'm just going to say it. It's a problem on this team. There's some talent. There's some youth. I think one of the key things for the Pelicans moving forward this offseason, some of its foundational guys have got to take that next step in the maturity level. What's something that you've seen from DeAndre that maybe with either Green or Monty Williams have been able to get him to mature to that next level to where you see him right now?
Well, I think this is where I'm going to give a co-assist to Chris Paul on this one as well. And this is a Monty Williams slash Willie Green slash Chris Paul thing. And I'm also going to have to give one to Mark Bryant, who has just done tremendous work with DeAndre Ayton. But all of those guys, and in particular Chris Paul along with Monty and Willie, have instilled in DeAndre Ayton this idea that, okay, you think you're working to a 10, right? You think you're giving me everything you've got. You're not. There's another level you can get to. There's another level of hard work that you can achieve, whether it's in the weight room, whether it's in the film room. There's somewhere else for you to go. And I think those guys show DeAndre Ayton that if you can consistently live in that space, and really more importantly than anything else, if you're willing to sacrifice some of the things that you think you should be doing at this level, if you're willing to sacrifice that in the short term, it'll pay off for you in the long term. DeAndre Ayton's game has been incredibly simplified by Monty and Willie and pushed along by Chris Paul, in that, you know, instead of settling for 20-foot jump shots, instead of trying to take three-pointers, instead of doing all that silly stuff he was doing before, man, he has become a willing screener, a ferocious rim runner. And does he get rewarded every time? No. Should he have the ball in his hands more often? Probably. Mm-hmm. But he's been willing to take that sacrifice because it's been for the betterment of the team. And all along, Chris and Willie and Monty have been encouraging him that sacrifice will be rewarded, and it's being paid off right now with this continually evolving game that he's flashing every single night.
All right, final thing for you, Dave. Thank you for your time this afternoon. I'm nervous. I tomorrow's going to be big as it is. I don't know if you want it to be 2-2, right? But what do you think is the key tomorrow?
I think the key tomorrow will be a better defensive effort on Middleton and Holiday, which is going to be hard because guys like that tend to play better at home than they do on the road. Giannis killed him in game two when the Suns won that game by 10. Now, they got helped out by their three-point shooting, but I think a better defensive effort on Drew and Chris Middleton to try to get them back to numbers that they were flashing in games one and two will obviously help. Clearly, Devin Booker needs to play better. Is he tired? Does he have heavy legs? I don't know, but that's going to be a big key. And keeping DeAndre Ayton on the floor is going to be a big key. Do all those things, and I think the Suns can be 3-1. But even if it's 2-2, I think they're still in a good spot.
Dave Burns, appreciate the time, sir, at Burnsy987, co-host of Burns and Gambo, over there in the home for the Suns, Cardinals, and D-backs. We might touch base with you later on with a little football, man, if you don't mind.
Absolutely, Dutch. You call me anytime.
Sounds good, man. Thank you, man. Enjoy the rest of the finals. Maybe bring home that championship to city that is eager to celebrate, man. Thank you, man.
Appreciate it. You got it.
Yep, for sure. Quick break. We come back. Well, we got a bunch of little tidbits. And again, we're trying to find exactly what Chris Paul said. We want you to hear it. But it does look like Willie Green is going to be your next head coach for the New Orleans Pelicans. Negotiations being done now. And the fact that Chris Paul just said what he said, looks like it's happening. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Shrimp floats is a common.
Since
1948. That's 73 years. Alario Brothers has been in the commercial fishing and shrimping supply business, stocking large selections of 12-volt electrical and hydraulic single and double drum winches and hydraulic motors with brakes, beltless clutches, and pumps with brackets. They also carry hydraulic stainless steel skimmer winches, hydraulic valves, and hydraulic steering for up to 65-foot boats. Also a huge assortment of crab traps and crab trap wire, stocking nylon plastic and knotless webbing. You heard about that new webbing, Platina Knotless Dyneema. Alario Brothers also stocks shark tail netting that's reinforced with stainless steel wire. They stock four different sizes of galvanized stabilizers, also stocking a large variety of fiberglass cloth, including resin gel coat and other supplies needed for fiberglassing. Lost an anchor? Alario Brothers stocks anchors from 5 pounds to 100 pounds. Visit Alario Brothers before the season begins. That's Alario Brothers, 894 Avenue A, West Wego, online at alariobros.com.
Shrimp boats is a-coming.
As a leader in the oil and gas industry, Joe Septic Contractors caters to oil field clients, offering vacuum truck service for offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Their rental department offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings for easy maneuvering, also holding tank rentals and portable hand-washing stations. So call Joe Septic Contractors 24-7 at 985-632-5592 in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville, or visit their website at joeseptic@viscom.net.
Make this the summer event at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat in Houma. Not only can you get a great deal on a Ram, but you can see their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right ones should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003, Pels fans. Looks like Willie Green's going to be your head coach. Not official just yet. Looks like it's going that way. Andrew Lopez at 1230 said they're negotiating. He expects it to be probably today, tomorrow, that it's announced. And just minutes ago, 21 minutes ago, Chris Paul, in the not even 21 minutes ago, right? They just ended about 10 minutes ago. Suns media availability just wrapped up. He was the first player after Monty Williams. Last question to Chris Paul. Let's see. I had it here in a quick second. And here we go. And it's about Willie Green.
I don't know about the comparisons. I think for us right now, we're just trying to...
What kind of head coach do you think he will be?
Willie Green as a head coach. I don't know. I'm a little biased. I'm a little biased, man. That's my guy right there. Like, I was talking to Book about it last night, this morning. Not just my teammate. That's a brother to me. So I know he deserves it. He'll be the most humble, prepared coach you ever seen in your life. But I can't even imagine right now playing and him being a coach, you know. But I'm unbelievably happy for the opportunity that he may get for Chauncey, you know, for Jay Kidd, for Jamal Mosley, all these coaches. You know what I mean? It's getting an opportunity. I'm happy for it because it's time.
Let me ask y'all this. I know we kind of mentioned it a little bit, Maddie, when we kind of started thinking in the direction of, you know, what is Drew going to do after? I mean, a lot of people in this city jokingly said he could run for governor, mayor, you name it. And it's a hands down win. I've always thought when you hear him and you interview him, you speak to him, I can't think of he's a head coach, right? He's one on the field. He's all that. Like, I could see him enjoying that, wanting that. He's spoken since, quote-unquote, retiring a few months ago. Why he immediately took this NBC job. He's like, I got to be around the game. I want to be a part of that. Do you think this is going to be enough, him being in the booth or in the studio? Or could we see, because I'm about to move into Chris Paul, could we see Drew becoming an offensive coordinator and then earning his way to become a head coach?
I've always seen Drew as a coach more than an analyst. Not to say that he can't do that, mm-hmm. but I think that Drew loves the game on such a deep level. And you just think of all of the time that he spends preparing and the way he kind of took Taysom under his wing, Jameis under his wing. He's always had that leadership ability. So I've always seen him eventually kind of settling into that position. Maybe as a quarterback's coach, though. I don't know if he necessarily wants to be a head coach, but I don't know. I could also kind of see him doing it in an unofficial capacity. I've said that before a couple times. I think that Drew may have retired, but we've heard that, you know, he's popped in the practice facility quite a few times. He's gone and visited Justin Herbert down in San Diego, or A-Bear if you're Cam Jordan. Mm-hmm. He's gone up and seen Russell Wilson in Seattle. So he seems, yeah. I don't know if just sitting in a booth is going to be enough for him. It might be a good transition and some time to spend with his family that might be necessary, but when they're a little older and they're, you know, starting to
explain. The kids. That's exactly what I was thinking, is the kids. And I don't know if it's a fair comparison because one was already a head coach, but I could see it being Gruden-like, where he enjoyed being an analyst, but the lore, like you saw, you know, the film study he would do before the draft, where he'd have these quarterbacks and sit with them. I just think he's going to miss that competitive nature. I'm with you. He's still relatively young, right? So I could see once those kids maybe high school on, the youngest one gets into high school, maybe then saying, well, look, you know, she's 15, 16. The other kids are now in college, which almost turns my stomach because I remember him with the earmuffs being held by the Lombardi in 2009. I just look at somebody like that and just there. Chris Paul, who's already, you know, one of the heads, I think, right, for the players union and players reps, and is involved in CBA negotiations and speaks on behalf of the, I think he'd be a great head coach.
Oh yeah.
He sounds like a coach. He looks like a coach. And the fact that he brought those names up, what he's saying there is all these former players that are good minds and things of that nature. But again, you heard Chris there. I wanted to play that bite. Cause I want to hear the context, and that's why I do. It's important. The text on the thing said he's a head coach, which makes it seems like he knows he is. And you heard Chris saying, head coach, meaning like, I wonder what it'd be like as a head coach. But he didn't also infer that the opportunity is going to be coming one way or another. So it's either the Wizards or the Pels by the way he said it. And as we know, Andrew told us, they're negotiating. So look, I thought today with an off day, you had that practice yesterday, practice today, wrap it up, put that to bed, not worry about it. It looks like they're ready. Look, Sam Mitchell's a name that's been brought up as a lead assistant. We played some sound that he actually coached Zion in a high school all-star game and used him as point Zion. So that's interesting because we've mentioned you have Teresa Weatherspoon, you have Fred Vinson, gets a or two assistant with some head coaching experience or time on a bench to help Willie out and go roll with it and see what happens. So that's why I wanted to play that, though. By the way, as we wrap up hour number two, Maddie, are you a fan of mac and cheese?
Is this going to relate to Mac Jones?
No. Mac and cheese, like Kraft mac and cheese. Do you like mac and cheese?
I do.
Do you, Jordan?
Oh, come on.
What?
Of course I like mac
and cheese. Okay, my son adores mac and cheese. Like, he can have it every day. He's having it for lunch right now. Kraft has partnered with Van Leeuwen's Ice Cream. Did I say that right? Leeuwens?
I thought you meant Robert Kraft or
something. No. Kraft Macaroni and Cheese Ice Cream will be available online for orders on Van Leeuwen's website for $12 a pint
tomorrow
on National Mac and Cheese Day.
So a pint of ice
mac
cream?
And cheese flavored ice
cream. Oh, whoa. What?
Can we order some?
See, she would try. You would be willing to try.
I mean, if we had it in studio.
You would be willing to try. Okay. Yeah. And Maddie, by your reaction, you would not be willing to try Kraft mac and cheese flavored ice cream?
I'm only here so I don't get fined at this point.
Okay. That's fine.
Abstain from
No guests in hour number three. Maddie and I will discuss this handful of different topics. Jordan's going to throw in some things here as well. Football related, basketball related, some more top stories. We still got to look at the position groups as well. So we got a lot to get into, although I feel like 2 hours have flown by. Top of the hour. Enjoy the quick break. We'll be right back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.